Jamie Jones is the director of Duke Innovation and Entrepreneurship, or IND. She believes that while not everyone will be an entrepreneur, anyone can be entrepreneurial. This is true even if you have a non-traditional background, like her PhD in chemistry. In this episode, Jamie covers a lot. She shares her own journey through entrepreneurship, career advice for students, and opportunities at Fuqua, Duke, and the Research Triangle. Some of you have already started a company. Some are thinking about it. Others just want to try working at a startup. You'll all find inspiration from Jamie's story and the energy she brings to this work every day. Welcome to the Fuqua Show, for the stories, the lessons, and the passions of the Team Fuqua community at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. I'm Thomas Cheng, and today we have a very special guest with us. We have, all the way from innovation and entrepreneurship, the one, the only, Dr. Jamie Jones.
Hi, Thomas, and hello, Team Fuqua.
So Jamie is very busy right now with all of the things that are going on with innovation and entrepreneurship. We're going to hear all about it today. Jamie is the director of Duke INE, whose mission is to inspire and empower the entire Duke community to act more entrepreneurially in all their endeavors. Jamie's built her career working in startups and entrepreneurship education, from early stage companies to innovation hubs to investment funds to universities like Northwestern, Rice, and now Duke. She's experienced in design thinking, impact investing, connecting science and tech to commercial opportunities, and her superpower is helping entrepreneurs design creative ways to test the promise of new ideas. She's passionate about the power of entrepreneurship and innovation to address today's biggest challenges, and in her spare time enjoys riding bikes. If it has two wheels, then she's up for an adventure. Did you take any good bike trips this summer?
We enjoyed a nice vacation riding up the East Coast, and so stopped and biked in Maryland and Maine and New Hampshire and Vermont. That's on our mountain bikes, but then also have enjoyed some nice long road bikes here in the Carolinas. There's no better place for biking than here in North Carolina.
Well, Jamie, you're here at Duke INE. Your journey here was a bit unique. You actually started in chemistry and you got your PhD. What initially drew you to that field?
I love solving hard problems. And I think there's nothing more powerful than science and engineering to really change our world. And so I was drawn to really the richness of the types of problems that you get to solve as a chemist. And most importantly, I enjoyed being able to go into the lab and experiment and learn from those experiments.
And I see that you did some research on what's called group 14 metallocenes and structure function relationships in metallo enzymes. I have no idea what that means. Maybe we'll talk about it more later. It sounded like you enjoyed your work, but you wanted something more. Tell us about that decision to leave the field.
That's a great question. After my PhD, I joined industry as an R&D chemist. And while I really like the work, you know, donning my lab coats and goggles and working with my test tubes, what I realized is that the burnout I was feeling was not actually about grad school. It was that I didn't want to be a chemist anymore. And so I had the opportunity while I was working in industry to really engage at the intersection of business and science. And I became the technical expert on some new business development projects and really enjoyed being the person who could serve as the translator between these two worlds. And so that's what really inspired me to decide to go get an MBA, advance my learning on the business side so that I could sit and create value at the intersection of science and business.
And what was that like at the MBA coming from science research? Was there culture shock?
For sure. The first probably 3 months, I was just trying to figure out what everyone was actually saying. The words were so incredibly different. And so it took some time to adjust. I was lucky there were two other chemists in my class at Kellogg, and I had a chance to engage with them and we could commiserate. All three of us tried to learn the language of business.
And I'm curious, a lot of people go into business schools, as you know, and do consulting or some of these other fields. But it sounds like you were always interested still in innovation and entrepreneurship. When did you get bit by the entrepreneurship bug?
I don't know that I ever actually realized I was an entrepreneur. I started finding problems that needed to be solved. And so my first foray into this was I was working at the Kellogg School of Management as the director of social innovation. And while I was doing that work, I was engaging with a lot of stakeholders around Chicago, be that social entrepreneurs and social innovators or the investment community. And I started hearing consistently that there was a gap. We had a lot of social entrepreneurs who were doing great work and creating viable businesses that positively impacted society. And we had an investment community that was interested in placing their capital in mission-aligned ventures. But there was no way to do that. And so it was actually just trying to solve that problem that led to the formation of Impact Engine. And that was my first foray into entrepreneurship.
And I'm seeing here online, Impact Engine is described as a venture capital and private equity investment firm focused on growing companies that generate positive outcomes in education, health, economic empowerment, and environmental sustainability. I want to ask you a little bit more about what it was like to found and lead that organization.
We were scrappy in the early days, finding a solution to address a specific gap that we were seeing in the marketplace. And we started out wanting to launch a venture fund immediately. And what we learned through the conversations with potential investors and others was that they did, while they were interested in this space, they didn't necessarily believe that there were enough investable businesses out there. And so this was 2010, 2011. And at the time, the startup accelerator ecosystem was really nascent. In fact, there was only one accelerator in Chicago. It was called Accelerate Labs. They had not yet become a Techstars accelerator. And so after a lot of conversations, my co-founder and I made the decision to pivot away from trying to raise a venture fund and actually focus on starting an accelerator, because the idea was, if you don't believe there's pipeline of investable businesses, we will show you pipeline. And within, you know, after having had a lot of coffee chats for approximately 18 months and making progress, but really not being able to land our first check, we pivoted to an accelerator and raised the majority of the capital that we needed for launch within about 3 months or less. And so it was really exciting to see that we'd finally found product market fit. But with that transition, we were able to raise the capital we need and get started with Impact Engine.
I want you to think back to the Jamie who was back running Impact Engine. Do you remember how your theory of innovation changed?
When my co-founder Linda and I first started with Impact Engine, we were looking to bring on a CEO, someone who could really take this organization and run with it. That's when Chuck Templeton, the founder of Open Table, reached out. And it was bringing Chuck on as a CEO and leader that really helped Impact Engine thrive. And as we began to go through our accelerator programs and then the market changed, a lot more accelerators popped up in the marketplace. In fact, Techstars started taking some of our best deals because guess what? Impact deals are good business opportunities and investment opportunities too. That we made the decision to make a transition away from being an accelerator to raising our first venture fund, which was our initial vision. And we, at that point, brought on Jessica Drosty-Yagan as the CEO to lead that venture forward. And one of the biggest lessons I've learned through this experience is how absolutely critical it is to have the right leader at the helm.
Well, leadership is tough, and I imagine especially so in this space where you're trying to create social impact, but also have successful businesses. How do you navigate the trade-offs between the two?
One of the most important things when we're investing in impact ventures is to find opportunities where the mission and the business, the enterprise opportunity, are inextricably linked. This cuts down on the trade-offs that you will inevitably face as an impact entrepreneur. And so for us, it's how do you find a venture so that the more impact you're having, the more revenue you're producing, and the more revenue you're generating, the more impact you're having. And so when you can find that linkage between the two, then that's where the magic happens.
I have a question from Jules Leo from class of 2024. She asks, as a chemist turned entrepreneur, how has your science-driven perspective allowed you to develop a more holistic view of innovation and entrepreneurship?
One of my favorite things to share when I'm talking to a scientist is that they are ready to be entrepreneurs, because when you think about the entrepreneurial process and how you systematically manage uncertainty through disciplined action, that's experimental entrepreneurship, or many people may call it lean startup, for example. So in the lean startup methodology, you build a prototype, you test that with actual users, you learn from that testing, and then you iterate and continue the cycle of build, measure, learn. And so I think there's just so much beauty in the connection between how, when you think about de-risking entrepreneurial ideas, the most effective way to do that is basically the application of the scientific method.
I love what you said about de-risking, and it goes against a lot of these preconceived notions that people have about entrepreneurship as taking big, huge risks.
For sure. I think there's a total misconception in the way the media portrays entrepreneurs as these wildcatting risk takers. But good entrepreneurs actually de-risk their venture. They're thoughtful in thinking about what are the primary assumptions that are built into this venture, which ones are going to be catastrophic if they prove untrue to the venture, and how do I systematically design small-scale, quick and cheap experiments to test those assumptions and learn from that in order to optimize my chance of success and thereby reduce the risk of the venture failing.
And I also liked what you said about how the entrepreneurship process is basically the scientific method, which we've all learned and we've all practiced with those science fair projects when we were young. I know for INE this year, you have big goals about Duke students being more entrepreneurial in the classroom, outside of the classroom. What are you really hoping to achieve this year?
We set some big goals for Duke INE this year. We are going to try to engage with at least 5,000 students across Duke's campus, and we are excited to be able to be creative in how we bring that to life. I fundamentally believe that having an entrepreneurial mindset and skill set can have profound effects on individuals and allow them and empower them to really impact society in a meaningful way. And so the more students that we can engage in learning and practicing, which is a critical element of this, the entrepreneurial mindset, I firmly believe that we can have a bigger impact on society.
5,000 Duke students this year.
That's correct, Thomas. It's bold.
How many were last year?
Last year was approximately 2,500. So we're trying to double our goals from last year.
And I did see your LinkedIn post about this and about the importance of setting these BHAGs or these big, hairy, audacious goals. How are you feeling just as a leader right now, having set and communicated this goal to the whole school?
This is a big goal, and that makes everyone nervous, me included. But the reality is, if we don't set a bold goal, then we won't think creatively about how we work to achieve that goal. And the result of that will be that we will just keep doing what we've always done. And so by setting this bold goal, I'm really challenging my team and myself to be more creative in how we think about engaging the students across Duke University.
Well, that's a great lead into my next question from a student. Brian Wong from class of 2024 asks, "We've heard your biggest advice for incoming MBAs is take bigger risks," which you just talked about. It's maybe even de-risking too. How do you think about building out entrepreneurship at Fuqua specifically in a way that feels robust and secure enough for students to pursue it over traditional recruiting paths?
There's a lot of nuance in this. Entrepreneurship is not right for everyone. And an entrepreneurial pathway is not right for everyone, but everyone can be entrepreneurial in whatever they're going to do. So I want to separate those two things out. First of all, again, every single person can cultivate an entrepreneurial mindset and apply that in whatever professional pathway they choose, whether they decide to go into consulting, whether they're going to work in public policy. An entrepreneurial mindset is beneficial and will allow them to create value in a unique way. However, there are students who want to go either be a startup founder or go work for a startup. And the way that we're thinking about this at Fuqua is, how do we give you the opportunity to connect into the startup community and also cultivate the skills that you're going to need to succeed, whether you're launching your own venture or joining someone else's? We have a director of MBA programs at Duke INE, who is solely focused on the MBA population, of thinking about how do I enable and empower this population to get more experience in this space.
I think it's also important that we talk about representation and access. Javi Casado from class of 2024 asks, how do you think about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion in entrepreneurship?
When we talk about taking entrepreneurial action, the reality is that not every individual has equal opportunity to taking that level of risk. In fact, when we look at the statistics, women receive less than 2% of venture capital funding. Individuals from different backgrounds don't have access to the same network for customer acquisition, for funding, for mentorship. And all of this serves as barriers to successful entrepreneurial action. Everyone here at Fuqua and at Duke, we need to think critically about our role in reducing the barriers that these entrepreneurs have historically faced.
When you were working on Impact Engine, did you feel like you were at a disadvantage?
Impact Engine is a female-founded and female-led business. You see the impact and consequences of that reflected in our portfolio, which is extremely diverse. If you look at the founders of Impact Engine portfolio companies, you will see that they are disproportionately individuals of color and women. And that's unique in the venture industry. I believe being female-led enables us to see opportunities differently and perhaps capture opportunities in a new way that might be passed over by a more traditional venture fund. When my co-founder and I were doing the hard work of getting Impact Engine off the ground, we had a similar privilege that we were part of Northwestern and the University of Chicago. We were able to leverage those networks for access, but not every founder has that similar privilege.
I like that example because it just shows that you really need intentionality to fill some of these gaps.
100%. And it's going to take all of us.
So a few more questions from students. Raven Greenberg, class of 2024, asks, what are your strategies for fostering creativity and getting new ideas flowing?
I love this question because what you're really asking is, can I be more creative? And the answer is yes. There are lots of techniques that you can employ to be more creative. One of the things that I try to be conscious of is actually being more observant as I walk through the world. Because we're constantly overloaded with information, our brain creates a lot of heuristics and really takes out a lot of information as we're passing through the world. And so how do you be more conscious of observing pain points, frustrations, or workarounds? And those are great opportunities for innovation. Another element of this is really ensuring that you have time to relax. Our brains are much more creative when they're not facing a tremendous cognitive load. And in fact, I experienced that this summer after vacation and before the chaos of the semester, the ability to read different things and start to synthesize information in new ways to create new ideas. And it's all very exciting, but we have to give ourselves the time and space. And we also have to be intentional because the reality is that creativity doesn't strike like a bolt of lightning. It's something that you have to cultivate.
Ross Fly from class of 2025 asks, most startups coming out of business school seem to be in software. What advice do you have for people who are more interested in deep tech, which have longer development timelines and higher costs? How should we pursue these types of startups with only 2 years in an MBA program?
Deep tech is what's going to change the world. And so don't be scared by the fact that the time horizons are longer and it's perceived as being harder. I encourage you to go engage with the Duke Office of Translation and Commercialization and find what technologies from the Duke intellectual property portfolio are looking for a commercialization partner. And this is a great way to find a technology that's right at the cusp of being ready to be commercialized and you bringing the business expertise to really help move that from the lab to having the impact on society that it can have. While you're here at Fuqua, the 2 years that you have, that's a tremendous opportunity to leverage the resources across Duke that can help you set yourself up for success post-graduation with a deep tech or a hardware-based solution.
That's an important reminder that even though this is a mostly Fuqua audience, there's so much at Big Duke that you can use to be more entrepreneurial and to help you with whatever you're working on.
The magic of Duke I&E is the fact it's interdisciplinary. We're able to create learning experiences for students across campus where you get to meet each other, but that's on you. It's up to you to decide that you're going to engage with the PhDs that come to our events, with the brilliant undergraduates who bring a completely different perspective and skill set, with students from the policy school. That interdisciplinarity is where the magic comes when it comes to solving really hard problems.
Well, we have Fuqua, and as you just mentioned, we have Big Duke, but we also have the Triangle and all of the entrepreneurial resources and connections that it brings. Kendall Lorenzen, class of 2024, asks, how can students get more involved in the Triangle community?
The Triangle is booming. If you're here, please, please, please take the time to go engage. There's a lot of different ways to do this. Go engage at the American Underground, which is our startup co-working space here in Durham. Attend an event held by GrepBeat, which is our tech media coverage organization. Or go attend an event at one of the E3 pull-up events at the Provident. This is a great opportunity for students to get to meet other members of the community, the entrepreneurial ecosystem, add value to the ideas that they're working on, or perhaps even pitch your own idea and really start engaging.
Jamie, as someone who's lived here and Austin, Texas, do you think all the hype is real? Do you think the Triangle is going to become the next Austin?
When I look out my window at home and I see all the cranes in downtown Durham, I start to think the answer to that question is yes. I will say, as someone who was in Austin from 2000 to 2004, Durham feels a bit like Austin around 2003. Apple had announced their second headquarters. The tech scene was starting to boom. We'd just come out of the recovery from the 2001 bust. I think that the Triangle and specifically Durham really are on the cusp of becoming the next great tech epicenter.
Last question from me. People are always talking about how entrepreneurs need to find their why. What's yours?
The students here at Duke are simply amazing. And I truly believe in the power of our community to change the world. And to do that, I think that requires an entrepreneurial mindset. So getting up every single day to help build the ecosystem that is going to equip the students and the alumni community at Duke with that skill set to be able to go out and have an impact is really what motivates me.
You hear that, listeners? Jamie Jones thinks that you can change the world. So thank you again, Jamie. Thank you to the I&E team for everything that you do here on campus. I'm excited to see what unfolds this year as well as in the future here at Duke. And also in the Triangle as well.
Go Duke!